Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
This is a return visit from Austin Berg. Austin knows Illinois politics about as well as anybody. He especially will talk to you about how we police this state. But right now we wanted to talk to him once again from the Illinois Policy Institute. He's the vice president of marketing there, about the situation down in Springfield. I wanted to read to you, Austin, an editorial that appeared in the Wall Street Journal. Did you see the Wall Street Journal opined on this?
Yeah, I was very pleased to see that.
Well, you would be. But I mean, I'm just a little surprised that the Wall Street Journal, this national publication, took the time to write in a headline, Boss Madigan Teeters in Illinois. The man most responsible for the dreadful condition of Illinois politics and the state's finance has finally suffered a tentative defeat. Monday, Mike Madigan, Speaker of Illinois House for all but 2 years since 1983, said he will suspend his attempt to seek the 60 votes he needs for another term as the boss. We now know somebody else will be the boss of politics in Springfield, but wow.
Wow is right, and it's fitting that there's national coverage because it's Madigan isn't just a towering figure in Illinois. He's the longest serving legislative leader of any legislative body in the United States in history. So it is a national story. It's a historic day for Illinois. As we speak, they are conducting the vote for who will be the next speaker, and it appears that will be Representative Chris Welch.
I thought that was a done deal. Not so?
It is. It does seem to be a done deal, but they are still seconding nominations, and people are giving speeches on the House floor. So you never want to say never in Illinois politics, but it appears all but certain that Chris Welch will be the next speaker.
Will the fallout include term limits? Will the Illinois legislature ever be open to that?
I think you've seen change on that front in recent history that would give you hope. So in the Senate, currently, there is a term limit for the Senate president. And I think that could definitely be part of the conversation for the House. And I think should be, given the record in that chamber of people holding on to power for way too long.
Well, those are baby steps to me. I mean, that's not a term limit for the office holder, but just for that particular office. So that person could still be in the Senate, just not the president of the Senate?
Exactly. So in term, it's called leadership term limit. So the person at that top spot should be term limited. I think Illinoisans really would love to see term limits for all elected officials.
Yep.
And if not term limits, you got to have independent map making, because you can't both have people who are in office forever and aren't really accountable to voters because they are drawing maps to pick their voters rather than voters picking the politician.
Is that the most important thing that leadership does in Illinois?
I don't think that's one of the most important things, and it's certainly one of the key pillars to Madigan's power over the years. Remember, he drew the legislative maps in Illinois for three of the last four decades. It's how he first ascended to power in 1983, drawing the map after the 1980 census. So many representatives literally owed their seat to Mike Madigan and voted him into the speakership. J.B. Pritzker has an opportunity right now to say, listen, if any politician touches a map, I am not signing it. He should take a very strong stance on that.
Well, what do you mean touches a map? I mean, are the maps going to be redrawn? Should they be redrawn?
Yes. So the maps are going to be redrawn this year following the 2020 census. We will have a new legislative map in Illinois by this summer. That'll be passed by the legislature, and the governor will have an opportunity to accept or send them back to the drawing board.
Well, then what are you saying about the governor? I mean, what's the point? Somebody's got to touch a map.
So you can, instead of a politician drawing a map, you can appoint an independent commission of non-political people or experts or even a computer to draw the map and then present that to the governor rather than smoke-filled rooms of people deciding, you know, this precinct should go here and this precinct should go there.
That happens in other states, doesn't it? I mean, it's not always done by political bosses.
Oh, it happens. It's the norm in many states, and it should be the norm in Illinois. It's a huge problem because of the way it consolidates power. You should never be able to to reward your allies and punish your enemies by choosing which voters they get to have.
Yeah, right. But I wonder how that would be. Would it be some Democrats, some Republicans, some academics? Who would be on that committee, and wouldn't that be subject to some politics?
Oh, certainly. I mean, you're never going to have it perfect, but there's plenty of states with good models. Iowa has a very good map-making system that's largely algorithmically driven, so there's really not any human input. California has a pretty good system for redrawing their maps. We don't have to reinvent the wheel here. We can copy what other states do well.
You co-authored a book called The New Chicago Way, where you compare how politics are done in Chicago to other major metropolitan areas in America. One of the things you talk about a lot in your book is the policing, or how the police are governed in Chicago and in the state of Illinois. There's a new bill before legislators in Springfield. I know on Chicago's Afternoon News with Steve Bertrand, they talked about it. Most of our shows have here. What's your read on that bill?
Well, you mentioned the word read. I don't think anybody's read the full thing yet. It's about 700 pages, and the final version of it dropped at 4:30 in the morning today. So I know in broad strokes what they're trying to do with this bill. I think a lot of people are still scrambling and actually complaining that there was not more public input on this plan. I think in general in Illinois, a massive problem that we have that is under-discussed in policing is the role of public sector unions and their collective bargaining agreements trumping state law. So you have folks like the Chicago Fraternal Order of Police bargaining directly with the mayor over critical things like police discipline, whereas in other states, that is set as a unified standard throughout the state for both the protection of residents and police officers. It cannot be used as a political bargaining chip with a mayor, for instance. That's a massive problem, something that should have been addressed in this bill. It is not clear that this bill did address that.
One of the issues is civil liability, then, for those officers, right, and caps on how much they can be sued for, something like that?
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion about issues like qualified immunity for police officers, which essentially shields a lot of lawsuits from coming against them or cases proceeding in police discipline. And then, yes, civil liability. Whether those are the right moves right now, I think will depend a lot on the specifics of the language, which I think this was a case of we'll pass it and find out later.
Well, that was the conversation Steve Bertrand had yesterday on the afternoon news here. He was visiting with a police chief in the area, and he sure did not like the fact that he or his colleagues were not involved in the drafting of it. And Steve said, well, there were public hearings. Weren't you all attending those? But I think that's a different animal entirely. It sure does seem to me like if you're going to write legislation governing policing, that the police should be part of it. They don't get to be the deciders, but they know more about it than you or I do, right?
Certainly. Yeah, you should take into account all perspectives. And there's no doubt, especially in Chicago, that policing reform is so necessary. You also see this, and we're actually working on some research at the Illinois Policy Institute about this. It's not just Chicago that has these kind of really bizarre disciplinary procedures like cool-off times or being able to, you know, review testimony and things like this that really protect bad apples a lot of the time. It's not just Chicago. Those are in collective bargaining agreements with police departments across the state. And so it really does demand a statewide solution.
Well, I thought that the police were, in a way, at a bad point in time on some of these points because we have been dealing with police behaving badly relative to, say, video, and them maybe not being entirely honest about what the video later reveals, starting with Laquan McDonald, even before Laquan McDonald and since Laquan McDonald. I wonder a little bit about what's the fairest way to treat police officers who are trying to do their job.
Police body cams is a great example of that issue, right? I mean, I believe that is a part of this bill, increasing the proliferation of those cameras to departments all across the state. What you find with police body cameras typically is it not only protects victims of police abuse, but it also protects officers who are doing the right thing and have a wrongful complaint filed against them because it can be a pretty unbiased record of what actually happened.
The police don't have to. Is there a period of time after which something happens that they get to write the report? It's like 24 hours or something. Am I recollecting that correctly?
there is often a cool-off period of 24 to 48 hours after a police-involved shooting where an officer does not have to speak with investigators whatsoever. That's concerning, and it's different than other states. In California, in cases of police-involved shootings, there's an investigator on the scene that conducts interviews. A person is housed in an inspector general's office. There's really robust, independent oversight of policing.
I had talked to you about the police here. We called you, though, to talk about Mike Madigan. Both are on our minds today. Last 30 seconds from you, Austin, on Mike Madigan. What's going to happen to him in the future? Do you think he's going to resign, not run for re-election, or is he going to continue to serve in the Senate or in the House?
So for now, I mean, he was inaugurated today in his seat. So what we're looking at now is sort of similar to what happened to Alderman Ed Burke. You'll remember he was the chair of the all-powerful Finance Committee. He was indicted, but he still serves as an alderman. That is what we're looking at with Madigan right now. Another angle people should be looking out for is whether he remains chairman of the Democratic Party of Illinois, whether he holds those political purse strings or not.
Yeah, maybe he'd want to stay in the game for that alone. Austin Berg from the Illinois Policy Institute will join us tomorrow in our Mincing Rascals podcast, too. A lot of folks download that. Thanks, Austin. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, John.
Welcome back, 720 WGN. Ryan Burroughs, Steve Bertrand.
Hey, Steve.
Ryan, how's your day going?
Oh, there's some things going on today.
Wow, it's unbelievable.
The nice thing is we've got Kim back there and David Miranda and Lauren Lapka, and they're keeping us all filled in as to what's going on in the newsroom because we've got a lot. And, you know, obviously we're keeping track of everything that's going on in Washington, D.C. right now with the impeachment proceedings, and we will dip into that at some point. But first, why don't we head down to Springfield and Capitol Bureau Chief of WCIA, Mark Maxwell. You've had yourself quite a day today as well, Mark, haven't you?
Brian and Steve, I don't even know when the day started and when yesterday stopped. The Senate went out around 7 a.m. We worked and pulled an all-nighter. But, yeah, we're seeing a lot of things happen quick here down in Springfield.
I think it's interesting because I've been kind of, as we've been prepping for to talk to you, I've wondered, you know, what is the headline going to be tomorrow? Is the headline, and granted, people don't buy newspapers like they used to, but is it going to be that there is a new House Speaker by the name of Chris Welch? Is it going to be that Mike Madigan's reign is over, or is there going to be something else maybe that we're not aware of at this point?
Well, certainly there are those three big headlines, right? The first black speaker in Illinois history, our 202-year history, that's significant. And House Democrats spoke about that at great length today on the floor and in private. But also, the other two headlines here are that Speaker Madigan stepped aside. Really, yes, he was forced out by a number of his members in his party that said they wouldn't vote for him, but he had a lot of support still. And if he wanted to drag this out and delay this fight for the gavel, he could have done that. At some point yesterday or the day before, he made the decision that he didn't have the votes, and instead of digging in for a long fight with his own party, he wanted to step aside and pave the way for somebody else. So there's that story of Madigan choosing to step aside, but there's the other story, the origin here, which is the number of women who were the first to come forward and really throw down the gauntlet. Even when they didn't have the numbers, the strength in numbers, they still did that and ultimately gained that slow momentum and forced his hand here. So those, to me, are the three big headlines.
So, Mark, that's interesting to me because there was that Tribune story late in the day yesterday that Welch had police called on him regarding a situation with a woman. There are some retribution allegations in other situations. And in this day of Me Too, it still was the women in the House, the Democratic women, who put him over the top. Just tell me about how all that played out.
Sure. So, of course, as soon as someone starts to ascend the ranks of power, all of their dirty laundry starts to come out. And there were Republicans pushing the story from 2002, a police report where Representative Welch was, before he was an elected official, was arrested. Those charges were later dropped in a domestic altercation. He described himself and explained himself to the Democratic caucus. In fact, a group of women sort of huddled around him just after that story broke. It was sort of surreal to watch. They clearly wanted an answer, an explanation from him. The answer they got was to their satisfaction, because in just moments later, several sources said he's got the women caucus, the women's caucus, in his corner. So you have to consider that he led the charge on several big, important, and complicated, sometimes controversial pieces of legislation that advanced women's rights, women's choice, things of that nature. So the women who've worked with him these last several years know him to be somebody who will work for them, and that mattered more to them than some 19-year-old recycled story that never ended up being, you know, verified in a court of law.
Do you expect Madigan to stay in the House?
You know, he loves his job. The Speaker clearly loves what he does. He loves representing people. You know, obviously, he's under a cloud of controversy and suspicion with this FBI corruption probe. But his spokesperson tells us today he swears the oath of office today. He'll be in his office, in his seat as the representative serving the 22nd District of Chicago. So no longer the Speaker as of today. But for now, he expects to stay there. Could there be, you know, a resignation later? Perhaps. But I think maybe if he wanted this to be about the new Speaker, Speaker Welch, maybe he didn't want to cloud all of that with his resignation. So it's still possible that moment comes, but for now it's about the transition of power.
Splashy headlines, obviously, with Welch and Madigan, but can you fill us in a little bit about this police reform bill that passed? Because I'm seeing a lot of chatter right now from people in law enforcement about what this is and what it'll mean.
Well, certainly, that's one of the things. There's been a lot going on here, and I believe the bill is over 600, maybe it reached 700 pages in the early hours of this morning as the Senate passed it over to the House approving it just here. The big takeaway, and there's a lot of technical changes, but the two big things, Illinois is closer to ending cash bail. The state will no longer hold someone in custody just because they can't post bond, if they can't afford to make bail. And this has been a big progressive push for many years to no longer treat suspects who have not yet been convicted, to deprive them of their liberty, essentially, just because they don't have the money to pay. Law enforcement warns, well, that might put some of our witnesses in greater jeopardy, because if the people testifying against them, all of a sudden that person's out of jail, that could make for some thorny situations. The other thing to note, though, police pushed back strong on this idea to end qualified immunity and expose officers to greater financial liability should they abuse their power or should they violate someone's civil rights. Police won that round. Lawmakers just couldn't get the votes. There were warnings of mass resignations from officers that were, you know, sergeants that were 50 and over. They said, hey, look, we'll just walk off, turn in our badge, and collect our pension check. Those scare tactics, if you will, seem to have worked. The legislature just couldn't get that. So they took that out of the bill, perhaps a negotiating chip at the bargaining table. But those are the two big pieces, and certainly there's going to be expanded body camera usage and more accountability from citizens when there are those moments where police have conflict with citizens.
Mark, I was talking to a police chief from the suburbs yesterday, and he said that police would be required to allow a suspect 3 phone calls within an hour of arrest. And he said, you know, we got that clock starts when the suspect is in the back of the squad car, and we might have to not chase down other bad guys, or he could call his cohorts to say he was in jail, things like that. Can you tell me about this call rule?
Yeah, see, that's an example of one of the technical pieces that can be, you know, lost in a wash of 600 pages of legislation, right? I can't confirm that's in the final product that's going to Governor Pritzker's desk. I haven't had a chance to read through all that at the moment, but certainly police have been looking, parsing through this, looking for something that might, you know, they're going to make the case. Unions were upset at some of the weakened bargaining power when it comes to punishing bad cops, if you will, a cop accused of wrongdoing. Unions came to the floor and said, look, you can't just strip the union of the right to protect their members. And so that was another point of contention. Some of those issues might arise when it comes to work hours, man hours, logistics, how they handle their jobs. We're going to take closer looks at that and start to digest really what's all in here over the next week or so. But it's going to be a continuing conversation as police come back in the spring session and try to iron out the kinks. Remember, when Springfield moves fast on big stuff, they miss things. Stuff falls through the cracks. So don't be surprised if lawmakers come back in May and say, you know what, we're going to tweak this, change that. So the discussion about police reform is far from over.
Mark Maxwell, reporting from Springfield, Capitol Bureau Chief with WCIA. Go get yourself a glass of water, an energy bar. Get right back into it, because I know there's a lot going on.
Mark, I'd take a nap if I were you.
Some custom cup coffee is in order. If you're down in Springfield, that's where the coffee's at.
We really appreciate it. Thank you so much.